Georgia's DBHDD has an urgent health warning. One of every 10 counterfeit pills contain fentanyl, a powerful and very deadly drug. Pills from friends or dealers are unsafe, and one pill can cause an overdose. More info at opioidresponse.info.
Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Peter Biello. On today's episode, the Georgia Department of Corrections is in trouble for failing to fix certain practices deemed unconstitutional. A new map lists the locations of Georgia's most common tick species, and Governor Brian Kemp signs into law a controversial school choice bill. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. A federal judge has found the Georgia Department of Corrections in contempt of court over conditions in the state's most extreme solitary confinement unit. GPB's Grant Blankenship reports the agency made an agreement in 2019 with attorneys for people incarcerated there.
5 years ago, GDC agreed that conditions in the Special Management Unit, or SMU, at Georgia Diagnostic Prison in Jackson did violate inmates' constitutional rights, as the inmates claimed, and that the prison system would take steps to provide things like more time to bathe, minimal time in an outdoor exercise pen, and access to books. In his order released last week, Chief U.S. District Judge for Georgia's Middle District, Mark Treadwell, found the prison system did not live up to their agreement. Now, the court will appoint an independent monitor in the unit at the prison system's expense and will fine GDC $75,000 a month until they comply with court terms. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
Governor Brian Kemp signed a controversial school choice bill into law today. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Senate Bill 233 allows students attending the lowest performing public schools to receive a $6,500 stipend to attend a private school. Critics say it could weaken public schools and cut funding. Supporters of the bill surrounded Kemp as he signed it at the state capitol. Kimberly Lefwich has two children with dyslexia who left public school to attend private school.
We want to see our kids succeed any way possible, and we want to do our best as parents to give them every opportunity. And this bill gives us as parents the opportunity to make the best choices for our families.
Kemp also signed a bill that requires age verification for social media and requires users to be at least 16 to use it. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Atlanta.
Emory University researchers have created a map that shows where Lone Star ticks are in Georgia. GPB's Devens Wald reports.
The Lone Star is the most commonly encountered tick species in Georgia. It transmits diseases like the Heartland virus, first discovered in 2009, that has infected more than 60 people nationwide. The Lone Star tick may also be associated with a dangerous allergy to red meat, according to the CDC. Steph Bellman, an MD, PhD student at Emory, says the map can give researchers clues to understanding tick-borne diseases, while also showing the public where they're likely to encounter the Lone Star tick, especially in peak months between April and August.
I hope it will help people know that if they're in this area of higher risk, to be more careful when they're out enjoying nature and just be more cognizant of their potential tick risk.
Hotspots run through the Piedmont and coastal regions of Georgia from Atlanta to Augusta to Tifton. For GPB News, I'm Devens Wald.
The University of Georgia broke ground Friday on a new medical education and research building. UGA says the $100 million building will expand teaching and research capabilities at the university's future School of Medicine. Earlier this year, state lawmakers passed funding for the new school. It'll be Georgia's second public medical school after the Medical College of Georgia at Augusta University. The building is expected to take UGA's first medical students in 2026.
If you like hearing the news from around the state here on Georgia Today, you'll probably like hearing how Georgia's agriculture economy feeds the country and the world on A Fork in the Road. I'm David Zelsky, and on the Fork in the Road podcast, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Find it online at gpb.org/podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars in federal funds may help improve some emergency services in Georgia. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more from Macon.
About $600,000 secured by U.S. Senator John Ossoff will help Atrium Health Navison purchase four new ambulances to serve Macon and neighboring Twiggs, Jones, Baldwin, and Troutland counties. Atrium is one of two EMS providers in Macon. EMS Director Tony Brown says these vehicles are more efficient and have an automatic lift that's less taxing for EMTs to operate. He also says that now ambulance coverage can be more consistent.
Call volumes in Macon Bibb County are so astronomically higher than they are in those rural counties, but we still have a responsibility to those citizens as well. With the addition of these, it will solidify our fleet.
About 30% of Atrium's ambulances run outside of Macon daily. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gradas in Macon.
More green jobs are coming to Georgia. A California-based recycling company said today it plans to build a billion-dollar facility to turn used plastic into new plastic in Upson County, between Macon and Columbus. Brightmark says the factory in Thomaston will keep more than 400,000 tons of plastic per year out of landfills, incinerators, and waterways. The company promises 200 advanced manufacturing jobs and $20 million in public infrastructure improvements. Construction is expected to begin next year with a projected opening date in 2027. President Joe Biden will be the commencement speaker at Atlanta's Morehouse College on May 19th. The White House today confirmed the plans, giving the president a key election year platform on one of the nation's preeminent historically black campuses. Polls suggest Biden has work to do to shore up the racially diverse coalition that propelled him to the Oval Office in 2020. Some Morehouse leaders are concerned that Biden could face protests around his visit. Apart from the Morehouse commencement, the president also has plans to address the graduating class at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point on May 25th. Senator Raphael Warnock met with Pope Francis at the Vatican over the weekend. According to his office, the two discussed conflicts in Gaza, Ukraine, and Sudan, and the need for peace. Warnock also participated in other meetings with international aid organizations and representatives of the World Food Program. The senator cut his visit to Rome short to return to Washington as the Senate prepares to vote on aid packages to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. In sports and baseball, the Braves and the Marlins face off again for the second of a three-game series at Truist Park. Catcher Travis d'Arnaud is looking to extend his hot streak. He homered in the fourth inning yesterday to put the Braves on the board as they beat the Marlins 3-0, and that was his fifth home run since Friday. d'Arnaud says his productivity at the plate lately has been wild.
I don't know how to explain it except I'm just going to keep riding this wave and not try to do too much. And the main thing is that we won today and we're up 1-0 in the series.
Bryce Elder made his first start for the Braves this season, throwing 6 2/3 solid innings. Elder was picked for the National League All-Star team last year when he made 31 starts for Atlanta and finished 12-4 with a 3.81 ERA. But he struggled in the second half of the season, got hit hard in the playoffs, and began this season in the minors. Also, Ronald Acuña Jr. stole his 190th base yesterday, setting a new Braves franchise record. Max Fried is scheduled to start for the Braves this evening. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, visit gpb.org/news. And remember to subscribe to this podcast. It's the best way to ensure that we will pop up automatically in your podcast feed tomorrow. And if you have feedback or a story idea, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know what's going on in your community. Our email address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.